Going to the Gospel of John for the subject of our study this morning, John 20, verse 30 and 31. We'll read from the New King James Version in just a moment. John 20, verse 30 and 31. In the Gospel of John, the Apostle of John records seven miracles out of all the miracles that Jesus performed. The first one was the changing of the water to wine in chapter 2. Then the healing of the nobleman's son in chapter 4. And the healing of the lame man in chapter 5. And then in chapter 6 there was two. There was the feeding of the multitude and the walking on the water. Then in chapter 9 it was the healing of the blind man. And in chapter 11 it was the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Well, in John chapter 20, John tells us the purpose of recording those seven miracles. He said in verse 30, "Truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name, that is, you may have life in him, that is, in union and fellowship with him." In order for one to have life in Christ, in order for one to be in fellowship with him, he first must begin by believing in Jesus as the Son of God. Belief is necessary. Faith in Christ as the Son of God is necessary. Just note its importance. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, "Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." If one wants to please God, he must have faith in God. He must believe in God. Without belief, without faith, he simply will not be able to please God. In Hebrews 11 and verse 5, we learn that Enoch was taken away, and he was taken away by faith because he pleased God, the text says, Hebrews 11 and verse 5. So one can please God. He can please God by his faith in God. By his faith in Jesus Christ, one can be acceptable to God and to Jesus Christ, his Lord. Come the day of judgment, who does not want to be pleasing to God? As we stand before Christ and give an account of the things done in the body according to what we have done, whether good or whether bad, who does not want to be pleasing to Christ on that day? 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. I think we would all want to be pleasing on that day, come the judgment day. So if we want to be pleasing on the judgment day, we need to start by being pleasing now through faith in Christ Jesus. In John 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, "If you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." That's just how important faith is. If you do not believe that Jesus is, if you do not believe that he is deity. It's hard to tell, but in the text, the word he is in italics, been added by the translator. Jesus simply says, if you do not believe that I am, that is, if you do not believe that I am God, literally, because I am is the title of God. As Moses asked God, "Well, who should I say has sent me?" And Yahweh answered and said, "Tell them that I am has sent you." When he was to go to the children of Israel and to Pharaoh. I am a title for God. If you do not believe that I am deity, you will die in your sins. To die in sins means to die with sins unforgiven. You'll die in that condition. Without having your sins pardoned, without having your sins forgiven, you'll die. And that's a sad state. To die with unforgiven sin. We're all going to die. Hebrews 9 and verse 27, it's appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. But to die in sin is bad. You're either going to die in sin, or you're going to die in a relationship and in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 14 and verse 3, John said, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on." Either you're going to die in the Lord, die in union and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're going to die in your sins. Which is it going to be? If you do not believe in Jesus, if you do not have faith in Jesus as the Son of God, You will die in your sin. That's just how important faith is. As a matter of fact, your eternal destination is determined by that. John 8 in verse 21, Jesus said to them again, I am going away and you will seek me and will die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. So your eternal destination is determined by your faith in Jesus Christ. If you do not believe in Him, you will not go where He goes. You will not go to heaven where He was going on this occasion. In the Christian's connection with Adam, the earthly man, we're all going to die unless the Lord comes first. But in our connection or in our union as children of God in Christ Jesus, we'll all be raised. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all will be made alive. All in the context is all Christians. In that context, he's not speaking about all men. All men are going to be raised, but some men are not going to be raised to live. They're going to be raised to die eternal death. That is, be eternally separated from God. So the context of that is that all Christians, of course, all Christians die. Like all men die. In our connection and union with the physical man, Adam, the earthly man. But in our connection in Christ, in our union and in our fellowship with Christ as children of God, we'll all be made alive, we'll all live, we'll all be able to go to that eternal destination if we have the hope of heaven in our heart and believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God.
Amen.
Well, what is faith? When we talk about faith, what is it? Well, faith is simply an action of one's heart. Romans 10 and verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. So faith is simply an action of one's heart. The heart here in the text is put for one's intellect, one's thinking, one's reasoning, one's understanding, one's mind. So with the heart one believes, or with the heart or the mind of man he comes to believe or have faith in Christ. Note here in Romans 10 and verse 10, with the heart one believes unto righteousness. That is, with a view toward being made righteous, with a view toward being saved, is the idea of the text, because the very next phrase, and with the mouth confession is made unto, or with a view toward being saved, or unto salvation. Salvation and righteousness here in this text are synonymous. So one believes in order to be made righteous or in order to be saved, and one confesses with the mouth in order to be saved. But belief itself is an action of the heart. Faith is an action of the heart. It's something that the mind is able to understand, comprehend. He is able to reason in reference to it. How does that reasoning, how does that understanding, how does that thinking come about? Well, it comes from the Word of God. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. It doesn't come miraculously. Many in the denominational world thinks that God gives you faith through some kind of miraculous process, some kind of direct operation of the Holy Spirit. He infuses faith or belief into you because you're so depraved from your mother's womb, they teach, that you cannot so much as believe unless God causes you to believe. Well, God doesn't cause you to believe. He's given you a mind, and you have the ability to believe. You have the ability to reason and understand and think and comprehend. Thus, you can believe. You can have faith. You can have trust and confidence in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. So what is faith? Faith is nothing more than belief. It is an action of a person's heart. And it is produced, not miraculously somehow, not mysteriously somehow, but it's produced by hearing the Word of God. We have several ways to illustrate this in the Scriptures. Acts 4 and in verse 4. However many of those who heard the Word believed, Peter and John preaching in the temple court on this occasion. They were preaching the gospel, and many of them hearing believed. That is, they come to have faith in what he said. They come to trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ. They come to believe the gospel. That's what they did. And the number of men came to be about 5,000. When they believed the gospel, what did they do? They did what Jesus said men should do in order to be saved or be added to the Lord's church, Acts 2:47, and Mark 16:15 and 16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes the gospel and is baptized will be saved. So many of those who heard the word believe. They heard the gospel. They heard the word of God. They come to believe it. Acts 18 and verse 8, when Paul is preaching in Corinth, Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his household. Many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. What did they hear? They heard the word of God. They heard the gospel preached. And they come to believe it. They come to have faith in it. They responded to it and were baptized. So faith is simply an action of one's heart. It's belief. And when you study the Word of God, when you hear the Word of God, that belief is produced in your heart. It's produced in your mind. Salvation from sin is through faith in Christ. Salvation from sin. If you want to be forgiven of sin, you're going to have faith in Christ in order to receive forgiveness of sin. In John 3 and in verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is what all Christians, those who even say they're Christians but are not, teach in the world. That through faith in Christ Jesus, you can be saved. That's what John 3:16 teaches. Through faith in Christ Jesus, you can be saved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. There's the saved. You'll not lose your eternal well-being. You'll not go to eternal ruin. You'll be saved. You'll have everlasting life. John 3 and in verse 36, Jesus said, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. We talked about propitiation in our lesson this morning. There's the wrath of God. Wrath of God abides on the one who does not believe. But yet he is the propitiation not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. The people of the whole world. But yet, people around the world all will not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Thus they'll not be saved by their sins, and he does not appease the wrath of God on those people. Amen. Our salvation or justification, another way of saying salvation, is through faith. Romans 5 and in verse 1, having been justified by faith, literally through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're justified. What does it mean to be justified? It means to be pronounced or declared by God as one who is righteous. Thus one who is pardoned and forgiven of his sins. So when one is said to be justified, he is said to be saved. When one is said to be saved, he is said to be righteous. So justification or salvation is through faith in Christ Jesus. Nothing could be clearer taught in the Scripture. The power of God to save, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is dependent upon our belief in it. Romans 1 and verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For whom? For everyone who believes. For everyone who believes what? For everyone who believes the gospel. The gospel then becomes their power through which they will be saved. In 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 1 and following, Paul told the Corinthians, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed it in vain. The gospel is God's power to bring about our salvation, but it is only powerful enough to do that if we believe in it, because unbelief makes it ineffective. Again, in Romans 1, and in verse 17, for in it, that is in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. God's plan for making man righteous is revealed in the gospel. That's why the gospel is his power to bring about our salvation. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. Note this, from faith to faith. Two different prepositions there. from faith to faith. From. Ek is the Greek preposition from. Means out of. Out of a body of doctrine and teaching referred to as the faith. To faith. Eis in the Greek. In order to produce faith. So the gospel itself produces faith. Simply another way of saying Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The gospel is the word of God, and it produces faith. But if you'll not believe it, it is ineffective. It will not bring about your salvation. It is God's power to bring about your salvation, but you must believe it in order for it to act in bringing about your salvation. That brings us to our next point. Salvation is by an active, obedient faith. It's not just by a mere mental assent. The denominational world goes to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. When we talk about belief and faith in the gospel, we're talking about an obedient, active faith. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about a faith that acts. A faith that moves one and motivates one to do what God tells them to do. So when we talk about being justified by faith, when we talk about being saved by faith, as we just did, we're talking about being saved by an active, obedient faith. Not just a mere mental belief and a mere mental assent. Many people believe that Jesus was the Christ, the long-awaited Messiah. Many of them believe that He was in fact deity, the Son of God. But that belief does not move or motivate them to action. It doesn't move or motivate them to obey. Salvation is by faith, but the faith that the Scripture speaks of is an active and obedient faith. As a matter of fact, Paul begins his epistle to the Romans that way, and he ends it that way. Romans 1 in verse 5. Through Him we have received grace and apostleship, that is through the Lord Jesus Christ, for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. You notice I got that underlined, for obedience to the faith. The word "the" is not in the text. For obedience of faith. Faith obeys. It's clear in most other versions, such as the English Standard Version, to bring about obedience of faith. To bring about obedience of faith. Faith is to obey. One believes with the purpose and intent of obeying. What's the purpose of faith if you're not going to obey? Faith serves no purpose if you're not going to obey what you believe. If you're not going to put your trust and confidence in what you believe, what's the purpose of it? What does it do for you? It does absolutely nothing for you. The gospel is God's power unto salvation. Only if you believe it. Only if you respond to it in obedience. Paul ended his epistle to the Romans. Romans 16 and verse 25. Now to Him who is able to establish you according to My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the beginning of the world, but now has been made manifest by the prophetic Scriptures, has been made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. Again, the King James, New King James adds the word "thee" before faith, but it is not there in the Greek text. English Standard Version, for obedience to faith, or to bring about obedience of faith. Salvation is by an active, obedient faith. This is said over and over again throughout the New Testament. For example, James says that salvation or justification is a matter of an active, obedient faith. James 2 and verse 24, you see then that a man is justified by works. A man is justified, a man is made righteous, a man is pronounced righteous, forgiven of his sins. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. By faith only. But yet we have many in the religious world today teaching today that man is justified, that is, he's saved by faith only. But faith will not save without works. Faith will not save unless you're active and obedient. Once you believe the gospel, then what does Christ want you to do? He wants you to go to work. That's what he wants you to do. He wants to put that belief in action. We have several ways to illustrate that in James 2. Abraham is one way. James 2 and verse 20. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Faith without works is dead. A dead body is inactive. There's no action in it. No work. It's just laying there. Faith by itself is dead. Faith without works, faith without action is dead. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? What's the answer to that? Yes, he was. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? Faith was brought to completion. That's the idea in the word perfect. Faith was made perfect. Faith was brought to completion. Faith was brought to completion in harmony with Abraham's work, in harmony with his actions, in harmony with his deeds. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. James illustrates another. In James 2 and verse 25, with a harlot Rahab. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out in another way? What's the answer to that question? The answer is yes. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith without works. Faith without work. Faith without activity. Faith without action on your part is dead. It's not going to bring you life. It's not going to bring you spiritual life. Faith must work. Galatians 5 and verse 6. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything but faith working through love. Love must be the motivating factor. If you love Christ, John 14 and verse 15, you'll keep his commandments. If you love him, love motivates you to obey. Love motivates you and moves you. Faith must work in order for it to save. Salvation is by an active, obedient faith. Several examples in the book of Hebrews show this in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Now he saved them physically, but what did he do? He did it by faith. God told him to build an ark, and what did Abraham do? Abraham believed what God said, and he went to work. And that's how he saved himself and his household, by faith. God spoke, Abraham believed it, and went to work. When Jesus speaks, when God speaks, we simply need to believe it and go to work. That's how faith will save us. Hebrews 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. God said, go. What did he do? He went. Why can't man today do the same thing? When Christ says, believe and be baptized, why can't men believe and be baptized? Because they believe that they're saved by faith only. They believe that obedience and the actions and works of man have nothing to do with salvation. The scriptures teach otherwise. Teach otherwise. I believe all who are present this morning recognize and realize that salvation from sin is through faith in Christ Jesus. And if one is going to be justified, if one is going to be saved in Christ Jesus, he's going to have to obey. I think we all understand that. But do we all understand that eternal salvation is based on faith? Because sometimes we might live as though we don't believe it. Just as one's initial forgiveness of sins, just as one's initial salvation in Christ Jesus is based on an active, obedient faith, so is your eternal salvation based on an active, obedient faith. The Scriptures speak about an eternal salvation. Just as we read about being justified through faith, we're justified or saved from our sins through an active, obedient faith. But there is a salvation beyond that, an eternal salvation. Peter speaks of it in 1 Peter 1 and in verse 8. Whom having not seen, that is Jesus Christ, you love, though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end, the culmination, the gold of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Was Peter not writing to those who were already saved, those who were already justified by faith? He certainly was. But yet they will receive the end of their faith. They'll receive the culmination of their faith. They'll receive their end goal of their faith, the salvation of their soul, their eternal salvation. Paul admonished the Philippians in Philippians 2 and verse 12 to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. To work out their salvation? He's writing to Christians. He's writing to the church at Philippi. Are they not already saved? Of course they are. They were justified through an active, obedient faith in Christ Jesus. But he tells them to work it out. When you work something out, you bring it to its ultimate conclusion. Like you work out a math problem, you bring it to its ultimate conclusion. So when you work out your salvation, you bring it to its ultimate conclusion. You receive eternal salvation. Peter affirmed the necessity of faith and one's eternal salvation in Acts 15 and verse 11. When he said, but we Jews believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. That is, we'll all be saved eternally in the same way, both Jew and Gentile. John tells us that faith is the victory that overcomes the world in 1 John 5 and in verse 4. For whatever is born of God, whoever is born of God, that is, those who have undergone the new birth, John 3, those who are in the family of God, those who are in fellowship with God, those who are in a relation with God, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Why did John write the gospel account? Record those seven miracles to cause you to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So who overcomes the world through that belief? The one who believes. The one who has an active, obedient belief in Jesus as the Son of God. John says that the world is passing away in verse 17 of 1 John in chapter 2. In verse 15 he says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away. The world is in the process of perishing, deteriorating. It's going to be gone. And the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Who overcomes the world? But the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. The one who has an active, obedient belief in Him as the Son of God. He overcomes the world. Yes, the world is perishing. The world is disappearing. The world is passing away in the lust of it. But you'll last forever if you have an active, obedient belief in Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 7, Paul said, we walk by faith and not by sight. Let me ask you, do you walk, that is, do you live by faith and not by sight? Sight here is that which we see. As a child of God, we don't live by sight. We don't live by that which we see. Our life is determined by what we cannot see. Because that which we cannot see is eternal. That which we see is physical and will not last forever. Even this old body. So do you walk or live by faith? 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, Paul said, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." You can't see this inner man. You can't see the spirit or soul of man, but it's there. We live by faith. We know that we have a soul or spirit residing in this body or tabernacle of flesh. We know that. How do we know that? Because we believe the Word. We believe what the Word says. And we make preparation for that which we cannot see for our soul or for our spirit. Thus we walk by faith. Hebrews 10 and verse 26, the Hebrew writer said, "For if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which would devour the adversaries. If anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses, of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who's trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people." It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Do you have faith in that which you cannot see? Do you believe in that which you cannot see to the point that you're making preparation for that which you cannot see? Do you have faith in the danger of falling into the hands of a living God? Do you have faith in the danger of falling into the hands of the one to whom you must give an account for the way in which you've lived in this life? Again, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. We walk by faith. We live by faith. We can't see God. We can't see heaven. We can't see the soul that resides in us, for which we're to be making preparation for eternity. We can only believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Be obedient to His will. Be saved from our sins in this present life. Amen. That we may be eternally saved in the life to come that is ahead. Amen. Salvation from sin is through faith in Christ. If you want to receive forgiveness of your sins this morning, you need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But just a mere mental assent is not going to bring that about. You must have an active, obedient faith that will cause you to rise up out of your pew, walk down the aisle, confess your faith in Christ, repent of your sins, and submit to water baptism for the remission of your sins. That's an active, obedient faith. Jesus said, "Believe and be baptized," and that's what you'll need to do. And then you'll need to live your life faithful unto God all the days of your life if you're going to receive eternal life. But answer this question, if you will, the question that Jesus asked in Luke 18 and verse 8. When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Will he really find faith? Will he really find an active, obedient faith even among his own people? Do you believe in Jesus Christ as a Son of God to the point, as a child of God, that you're active and obedient today as you was the day that you submitted to water baptism? You recognize and realize it took an active, obedient faith to wash your sins away. As a child of God, do you not recognize and realize that an active, obedient faith is necessary for eternal salvation? Because Christ is coming again. Acts 1 and verse 11. He's coming again. Hebrews 9 and verse 28. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. He's not coming the second time to save you. He came the first time to do that. He's coming for eternal salvation this time. He saved you through an active, obedient faith. But you must remain active and obedient to His Word in order to be a partaker of that eternal salvation. The lesson is yours. Through an active, obedient faith, you can become a child of God, and through an active, obedient faith, you can enter into the joys of heaven. When the Lord comes in that day, on the day of judgment, will He really find faith even among His people? Let's pray that He will. If you're here this morning and subject to the invitation in any way to become a child of God, to have your sins forgiven in baptism, or as a child of God, to confess sins publicly or even privately, we'll stand with you and pray for you if you'll let your desires be known as we stand and sing the song selected.